We are in Genesis 37 this morning. You know, some Bible stories are, they're just great for Sunday school. Bible stories with parables or miracles or lions or walking on water or adventures or great miracles. Or if there is a coat of many colors. You know, if you've ever taught Sunday school, or if your kids have ever been in Sunday school and they've learned the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors, that's just made for Sunday school. You know, break out the crayons. Use every crayon in the box to color in the stripes on Joseph's coat of many colors. It is great. You know, it brightens up the refrigerator when you put it on the refrigerator at home. If the Sunday school teacher has got those all lined up against her room, it just brightens up the room. It's fun to do. That's one of those stories that are great for Sunday school. Now, if you don't know Joseph and the coat of many colors from Sunday school, maybe you know the story from high school. And if you went to public high school, maybe you know it. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat was a production by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Very popular. And it is said that by 2008, that over 20,000 high schools and amateur theaters had put on this production of Joseph and, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It is billed as a spirited musical that rocks the stage, using an assorted musical variety of styles, country western, calypso, bubblegum rock, and rock and roll. Now, suffice it to say, I think the Sight and Sound theater production of Joseph is going to be a little different than that. I think it's going to be a little different than Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But when you think about Joseph, maybe the only thing that comes to mind, some faded memories of a high school production of some sort. Or maybe when you think about Joseph and that coat of many colors, you think about maybe Sunday school or a picture that somebody brought home and you put it on the refrigerator. Maybe you've got some faint memories of that. But the story of Joseph is more than a story of a multicolored coat or robe. You know, some stories in the Bible encourage us, like I said before. Some Bibles encourage us to do something noble, to get out there and follow an example. Then other stories in the Bible warn us to avoid a trap, to avoid a trouble. And the story of Joseph, including that multicolored robe, that jacket that he had, the beginning of the story of Joseph. It is a story, it is a powerful story of jealousy. And it is a warning to us. It is God saying, don't go there. There's trouble. There's trouble in this story. And it's a warning to us in our day. Let's take a moment and pray to the Lord. Ask for His help. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct as we begin this series. And Lord, as we begin, we talk about the beginning of the story of Joseph. Lord, help us, lead us, guide us. In this we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Story of the beginning of the life of Joseph is a powerful story of jealousy. Genesis 37, look at verses 1 through 4. Genesis 37, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. This is how Jacob became Israel and how this nation of God was born. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Jacob, Joseph's dad, Joseph's father, loved Joseph more than any of the other brothers. There were 12 altogether. And there was one daughter, Dinah, remember the story. But when it came to those young men, Jacob said to Joseph, "That's the one. That's the one." Look at verse 3. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." That is so key to this story and how this story begins and our message this morning. Joseph was loved by dad more than any of the other brothers for two reasons. One is stated in the scripture. Look at the middle of verse 3. The middle of verse 3. "Because Joseph," he, "was a son of his old age," of Jacob's old age. Jacob had a new lease on life when Joseph was born. Jacob lived to be about 147 years old. And here we are in Genesis 37, and he is well over 100 years old. Now, boys that were born in an agrarian culture where there was hard physical labor, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. They became farmhands, and they became those who ran the ranch, so to speak. Joseph, born to Jacob, well over 100 years, it was like renewed strength, renewed energy in Joseph. Also, Joseph was loved more than all the other brothers for a reason that's not stated. Would you hold your hand in Genesis 37 and go back to Genesis 29? Genesis chapter 29. Back to the day when Jacob got married. Genesis 29 and verse 18, if you will. "And Jacob loved Rachel." He was in love. I mean, he was really in love. "And he said, 'I will serve thee 7 years,'" to Rachel's dad, "'I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.' And Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Let's do this." Now look at verse 20. This is key. "And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her." It was just like a few days had gone by because he was so in love with Rachel. You know, Rachel kind of gave him goosebumps and made his knees kind of like jelly, and he was just in love with Rachel. Now turn back to Genesis 37, if you will. Genesis 37. "Now Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel." And that's another message. That's another message. "And his other boys," Jacob's other boys, except for Benjamin, they were all born to other wives. Joseph was born to Rachel. Now remember, he loved Rachel. Rachel was the love of his life. And Joseph being born to Rachel, the other boys except for Benjamin, were all born to other women. Joseph was born to the love of his life. He was a special son, a son set apart in his eyes. Now what about that coat or that tunic of many colors? Look at verse 3, Genesis 37 and verse 3. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age." Now look at this. "And he made him a coat of many colors." I don't care how many little drawings came home from Sunday school. We're not quite sure what this thing looked like. We're not quite sure what this robe looked like. We don't know if it had stripes or patches of color. We really don't know. "A coat of many colors," that's how the King James gives it. Another translation, "a richly ornamented robe." We don't know. The robe was distinctive in color and design, and probably very costly, it was a sign of nobility. We know that much. That when you wore this robe, people saw you coming and they said, wow, there's somebody. There's somebody special. Now the Hebrew indicates something interesting. The Hebrew in this passage indicates it was a robe where the sleeves came back down to the wrists and down to the ankles. In fact, one translation says, Israel loved him more than his other sons, and he made Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. With long sleeves. Now, in an agrarian culture, a work robe did not have long sleeves and down to the ankles. A work robe was a short sleeve tunic so you could get out there and really do some labor. Joseph had this special robe on. Very fancy. You don't want to get it messed up. It comes down to your wrists, goes down to your ankles. One scholar said this: to show up at work with the kind of robe that Joseph had would be like showing up in a mink jacket. Imagine, you know, showing up on the farm for a hard day's labor and you've got a mink jacket on. You know, where can I sit where I won't mess up my robe? Maybe Joseph was purposely spared by his father from the hard work because of the robe and because of the favor put upon this young man. One other important thing about this robe: it was a sign and a signal. It wasn't just a gift where Joseph got a, you know, one extra special Christmas gift. It was a sign and a signal. It put Joseph in the front of the line. It was a sign and a signal from his dad that after me, you're going to be the leader. You're going to take the firstborn position. You're going to lead this family and you will inherit the greatest blessing. Now remember, there were 12 sons. Joseph is number 11. Only Benjamin is younger than him. Jacob, dad, moved Joseph up 11 spots. And he said, here's this robe, and when people look at you, they're going to know you're next. You're the next leader of this family. You're first. Your family will serve you. We said earlier, the story of the beginning of the life of Joseph is a powerful story of jealousy. Let me begin to work that point by saying this much. Let me begin with this. Let me put it this way. What does it feel like when someone jumps the line? What does that feel like when someone moves up 11 spots and says, I'm first now? Let me put it in our common everyday vernacular. When you're in line at Walmart and you've been waiting and you've been waiting and your feet hurt and you're tired of the crowds and you, did I say that you were waiting? You were waiting and you're going to get up to that register someday. You don't know when. Someone comes out of the blue and they've got a couple things in their hand. And they go right up to the register, right in front of everybody, and try to check out. How do you feel about that person? What are you thinking about that person? You've worked for a company for years. You've been faithful. You've toiled. You've worked hard to learn the company and learn the ins and outs. You've put your time in. You're next in line for that promotion. You believe you deserve it. A promotion is open. It's all yours. You're just waiting for the knock on the door to come to your office, your cubicle, whatever. Here it is. And when that promotion is open, someone who's just hired, someone from the outside, someone who's maybe younger, they have very little experience, they step in and they get promoted and they get what you deserve. How does that feel? What do you think about that? In school, you study and you work and you sweat and you lose sleep and you try with all of your ability and you just squeak out a C. I mean, you just make it after all of your work. Maybe you had a tutor, maybe, you know, whatever it took, you did it. And your friend or your neighbor, they played video games instead of studying. And they never did their homework, and they never even tried, and they waltzed in, and they aced it. They aced the test, or they aced the course. How do you feel? How do you feel? What thoughts do you have about someone who jumps the line, who gets ahead like that? Joseph jumped the line. Joseph is the one who didn't study for the test, but he got the A. Joseph is the one who wasn't qualified for the job, who didn't put the time in, but he got the promotion. Joseph jumped the line, and his brothers hated him. They hated him. They were seething with jealousy. They wanted what he had. They hated him with jealousy. Now, before we go any further, that's the main point. Before we go any further in this message, I want to do a smaller message that maybe is important here. Be careful not to incite jealousy. Be careful not to rub it in if God has given you some blessing. Don't rub it in. Look at Genesis 37 verse 5. Look at it. Genesis 37 and verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. This is really where their brothers want to cream him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance or worship to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, just pile it on. Look at verse 9. He dreamed another dream and told his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made worship to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" Did these dreams come from the Lord? We are not sure. It's possible. Did these dreams come true? You know the rest of the story. Joseph, down the line in the story, Joseph was made second in line to Pharaoh. We'll talk about that. And his brothers, in essence, did bow down to him as the leader of Egypt. But did Joseph really have to call the whole family around and say, "Gather around, everybody. I got some dreams to tell you. I dreamed about these sheaves of grain. All you sheaves of grain, bow down to my sheaf of grain. And I got another dream. The sun and the moon, which is mom and dad, the 11 stars, the brothers, you all bow down to me." Did he really have to do that? If God gives you blessing, if God fills your cup, if God gives you what you don't deserve, if God gives you out of his grace and mercy abundance, don't rub it in. Don't rub it in the face of others and say, "Hey, look what I got. And here's what you don't have." It hurts people. It's thoughtless. It's uncaring. It can break friendships. It can break family relationships, work relationships. Now, Joseph, He's only about 17 years old. So he said, you know what, Joseph, you got a lot to learn about people and relating to people. Joseph was only 17. He had some things to learn. But I say this, whether you're 17 or you're 70, be thankful for what you have. There's always someone with more. There's always someone with less. Be thankful for what God has given you. And be compassionate with others who are not so blessed. Be compassionate with others who are not so blessed. Back to our story. Genesis 37. The story of the beginning of Joseph is a powerful story of jealousy. And the main point of this story this morning is jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy is a powerful force for evil that will destroy your life. Number one, jealousy will soil your soul with hate. It will soil your soul with hate. Look at verse 4. Genesis 37 and verse 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. The Amplified says it this way. They hated him and could not say peace unto you. By the way, that's the Hebrew here. Shalom. Peace unto you. His brothers had such a deep hate. They could not say peace unto you. Shalom is a greeting. And in this culture, when you said shalom or peace unto you, you were giving well wishes on someone. But there's also something else here. If you could not say shalom or peace unto you, it also meant this. If you could, if you got the opportunity, you would hurt that person. You would take the opportunity to harm them, in some way, if you could not say shalom or peace unto you. Jealousy is a powerful force. Jealousy is a powerful force that will lead to hate. It will lead to hate of others around you. Don't let it in. Don't let it into your heart. Don't let it into your soul. It's a warning from the scriptures. Jealousy, here's another thing. Jealousy, if left unchecked, can lead down the path of murder. No, hang on here. I would never, don't even go there. I would never consider murder. It's not, you know, a part of my reference, point of reference. Believe me, jealousy is so powerful. It's so powerful. Look at Genesis 37 and verse 12. Genesis 37 and verse 12. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, here I am. He said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. The man said, they departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now this is where it gets really interesting. Look at it. Verse 18 now. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him, to snuff his life out. They said to one another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Can you hear their words? Can you hear the murder dripping from these words? Behold, the dreamer cometh. Here comes that dreamer. Remember the dreams that he said? Remember how he said the sheaves of grain would bow down, we would bow down to him? Remember how we dreamed that the sun and the moon, mom and dad, and the 11 stars, us, we would all bow down to. Here comes that dreamer now. See him? And by the way, they could probably see him coming for a long ways away because of his coat. Because of the colors in his jacket. There he is. I recognize that jacket. Here comes the dreamer. Here he comes. Let's kill him. Let's snuff his life out. Let's put him away. Murder is one of the most grievous sins that God speaks of. It is in the top 10. It is in the top 10 words of God. Thou shalt not kill. Earlier in Genesis 9, when Noah steps out of the ark, God was speaking vital words for the ages to come. And he says in Genesis 9, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. God made every person, no matter where you come from, no matter what you have, no matter what your ethnic background, God made every person a unique masterpiece. God made every person in his image, and that means they have intellect, they have will, and moral choice. Intellect, will, and moral choice. Psalm 139 tells us that we are all handcrafted in the womb. We are masterpieces of God. How dare we cut the image of God down? How dare we murder what God has specially designed? And you might say, I would never do that. Leave me out of that scenario. I've been jealous before of something that somebody had. Somebody jumped the line. At work, at school, wherever, I was jealous. I would never put my hands around their neck. Might feel like doing it, but I would never do it. First of all, this jealousy is so powerful. It is such a powerful force from hell. If you let it grow in your life, there's no stopping it. And someday, there may be no stopping you if you let it go. If you let it go. The second thing is this. Christ said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, he said this. If you have heard that it's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill or murder. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Remember I said before, you may feel like you want to put your hands around their neck. Murder and murderous thoughts. That in the judgment of God, it all starts in here. It all starts, not here. Starts in here. Jealousy will soil your soul with hate. Jealousy, if left unchecked, can lead down the path to murder. Even if it's in here, God judges that. One last thing. Jealousy, if left unchecked, can lead to a lifetime of pain. A lifetime of pain. You know the story of Joseph. We're going to go down through it and pick out some highlights of Joseph. You know the story. Joseph is thrown into that pit. And Joseph is sold to a caravan that is on their way to Egypt. He is sold as a slave to a man by the name of Potiphar. And through some unfortunate circumstances, he ends up in prison. In prison, he becomes an interpreter of dreams. Through that, he becomes the interpreter of the dreams of Pharaoh. Pharaoh places him second in command in Egypt. great famine comes to the whole region of the world. Joseph's brothers come to Egypt to get food during that famine. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and sends for dad to come to Egypt and live. And it is kind of like happily ever after. Happily ever after. But 17 years after Jacob, after dad moves to Egypt and lives there, some 30 years after Genesis 37, Jacob, dad, he dies. And then, look at our last passage, Genesis 50. Go there if you would. Genesis 50. And then, dad is gone. Genesis 50 and verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and we will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. He'll return the favor." Verse 16, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Things are still messed up 30 years later. You would have thought all that trouble would be back in Genesis 37, back in Canaan, when they were just young men. But 30 years later, the problems of the past, of jealousy, the hate and the hurt, it was bubbling up again. And I know that there are other things happening in Genesis 50, and we're going to talk about that. But the jealousy and the hate that it bred and the hurt that it caused was still impacting lives decades later. Decades later, it was still in that family and hurting people. It's a warning. Jealousy, it's pain, it's hurt, it's damage. If left unchecked, will hurt for a lifetime. It will hurt you. It will hurt others around you for a lifetime. Be on guard. Be vigilant. Don't let it in. Don't let it in. God has put in your hand all kinds of blessings. Your family, your friendships, ministry, jealousy can take all of that away. Jealousy can take all of that away. Your ministry, your family, your connections with people that are close and dear. God does not want jealousy to poison us so that all those blessings are taken. I see it this way. God is good. Amen. All things come from God that are good. James chapter 1 verse 17. God is the giver of all good gifts. I am a sinner saved by grace. The grace and the mercy of a crucified and risen Savior. I will be happy with what God has given me. And I will not let the powerful force of jealousy come into my life. I will not do it. Amen. Would you bow your heads for a moment this morning? Would you commit here and now? Would you talk to the Lord in these quiet moments? Would you just say to the Lord, "I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, the grace and mercy of a crucified and risen Lord. I will be happy, O Lord, with what you've given me. And I will not let the powerful sin of jealousy take over my life. Would you pray to the Lord? Would you talk to the Lord in these quiet moments and talk to Him about where you stand and your commitment to this? Oh Lord, I pray this morning. I cherish your word. I cherish it when it tells me to do something good. I cherish it when it gives me a warning like it does this morning. Oh Lord, I rest in you. You are my God and my Savior. And you have given me all good blessings in my life. You are a God who gives all good things, including the cross of Jesus. And I rest in that alone. And I am satisfied. Oh Lord, I pray. And I pray that all of us here today would have the same sentiment and the same prayer unto you, our living God. We pray this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.